I invite you to turn to Psalm 119 this evening. To Psalm 119. And as you're doing so, I want to ask you to think about the faithfulness of God. I ask you to consider in your mind the faithfulness of God. What does that look like? How do I discern God's faithfulness in my life today? Psalm 119, we'll be looking at verses 89 through 96. The faithfulness of God. Well, we're going to look at this psalm and we're going to see some things that the psalmist brings out about the faithfulness of God and how it is our foundation for life, God's faithfulness. Psalm 119, let's read it together, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Here we have a psalm where the beginning part, we have some very theological ideas that the psalmist is bringing forth. I mean, let's look at these, verses 89 through 91, and let's think about some of the theological ramifications of the statements that he is making. Look, he says, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now think about the theological ramification of such a statement. Here we have the psalmist speaking about the word of God. And he is saying, forever, it's settled in heaven. Forever, it is established in heaven. Now, as you think about that, some obvious conclusions would be these. God's word is what? Eternal. I mean, for the psalmist to write and make this declaration, "Thy word is settled in heaven forever." God's word is eternal. Many scriptures speak of that. A couple, Psalm 119, verse 152. Look down at 152 in the same chapter. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them," what's it say? "Forever." And then look at verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Dear ones, may we cling tightly to this word because it is a forever book. It does not go out of date. It will always be God's holy word. God's faithfulness is a foundation for life, and part of that is God's word is eternal. You also understand from that statement that God's word does not and nor will it change. It is settled in heaven. It's established, set. This is it. This is God's word. God's not going to come out and give some new revelation and say, "I'm going to change this portion or that portion." God's word does not change. It's established. Now, verse 90, we see the faithfulness of God even more clearly. where the psalmist writes, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." So think about this. If God's faithfulness is unto all generations, that means from the very first generation to the generation of today that God has not what? Changed. He has been consistent. He has worked consistently with mankind down through history. This scripture, you could say, from generation to generation. And boy, what a comfort that is to us. There's some of us here, maybe I think all of us at some point or another have raised another generation or are raising another generation. Isn't it a great comfort to know that we are not leaving the next generation with something that is wavering and changing, but we're leaving them with something that is solid and always is and always has been the forever Word of God? We can teach them, we can pour our life into teaching our children these truths with confidence and courage, because we know it's God's Word and we know it doesn't change. We know God doesn't change, so we can stand on the faithfulness of God. The second portion of that verse, verse 90, "Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." We take for granted how this earth operates. We take for granted that the sun's going to come up at a certain time the next day. I mean, in fact, we have atomic clocks that have it all laid out. Exactly when the sun will rise, exactly when the sun will set. And it's all down to the millisecond. You see, that's the earth that God's created and made. This earth that God has made is established, and it abideth according to His commands, just as He has designed it. The cycle of water operates, the evaporation into the atmosphere, and then it comes down in rain. It's an amazing thing to think about when you look at nature and this earth and realize that God has put it together and it has continued to operate as He has designed it. And what does that speak of? It speaks again of the faithfulness of God. You see, God has placed you and me on this earth, and He has designed this earth to operate in a consistent and orderly manner so that you and I could exist, so that we could operate and live. God's a faithful God. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, in reference to God's faithfulness, it says this: "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." In Psalm 104, verse 5, it says, "Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever?" God has laid those foundations. The earth is the result of God's work, and it is remaining. It is steadfast from generation to generation. Why is it that every year we take seeds and put them in the ground? We expect something to grow, don't we? Have you ever thought that's the faithfulness of God? I mean, God could change things all the way around and tell us to put plants in the ground and we get seeds, or however He would want to do it. But no, God is consistent. This is how you do it. Seeds bring forth a plant, and the plant brings forth the fruit. The reproduction of life. Why is it that we continue to have animal life and be able to enjoy those things. It's because God has orchestrated in such a way that they are able to reproduce after their kind. And so again, we see the faithfulness of God as we look around us. And through this psalm, you'll see at the beginning couple verses, he is establishing this truth that God is a firm foundation. He is a faithful God upon which he stands. He can trust God. Verse 91, they continue, speaking of the things of the earth, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. The things of this earth all look to God as their master. Why? He was their creator. And the creator knows just how all of these things operate. So now, as the psalmist has established this truth of the faithfulness of God, and that the faithfulness is that he is steadfast, he is true, he is firm. Establishing that, we now go in to understanding his word, God's word, and how the psalmist is relating God's word to the faithfulness of God. Looking at verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine afflictions. Afflictions here, misery or poverty. And so the psalmist, understanding what that kind of life is like and realizing that he should have perished or been destroyed in those afflictions, he would have been, except for the fact that he delighted in God's law. Now here's where that ties into the faithfulness of God. God's law never changes. And God asks us, commands us to do what? Joshua 1:8. To meditate therein, doesn't he? Meditate in the book of the law. And so if God is asking of us to meditate in his law, and he is a faithful God, then there are results. Then God's faithfulness will be seen as we obey our God. God's law will sustain us through afflictions. That's what the psalmist is saying. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my afflictions. He doesn't say that he was removed from them. He said he made it through them because God's law was his delight. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The psalmist is seeing God's precepts as something that is always true. And therefore, they bring him life. They revive his soul. I trust that, well, maybe at some time in your life, or maybe there will be a time in your life when you just feel drained and empty. You feel like you are all wrung out and you have nothing left to offer. You don't feel like you're being productive for the Lord. The psalmist here, feeling much like that, gives us the answer. Cling to his precepts. Cling to the precepts, the word of God. Because it's the testimony of the psalmist here. I will never forget those precepts, because with them you have quickened me. In other words, it is through God's word that the psalmist has realized a vitality in life, a revival in his life. It is with the precepts of God that he has held on to that he has realized new life. And I trust that we embrace this. You know, we're not going to feel, when we're down in the dumps and we're struggling, we're not going to feel like going to the Word of God, will we? No. I mean, we're not going to feel like reading these words. God, but yet we need to make a conscious choice, and we need to do it now. I need to be dedicated to this book. I need to be meditating in this book, whether I feel like it or not. Why? Because God tells us to, and because God is a faithful God, and we are seeing the incredible fruit of God's Word just in this one chapter of the Scriptures. Psalm 119. And dear ones, as you struggle through life, don't let go of this, God's Word. Don't let go of that. Because it will bring life. It restores life to our soul. That is a truth taught in the Scriptures. In verse 94, we see the psalmist making this statement, I am thine, save me. What is he saying? He's saying, God, I trust you. I trust you enough to say, I am all yours. I'm all yours, God. Please save me. You are my Savior. Why would the psalmist say such a thing? Well, it's because of the testimony of God down through history that we come to know God as a Savior. Time and time and time again, God delivers His people. God is a deliverer. And He hasn't stopped delivering people, has He? You and I are a delivered people. We have been delivered from the slave market of sin, from death. We've been delivered by our Savior God. And we must look to God and say, I am thine, I am yours. And he says, for I have sought after your precepts, God. God is our Savior. And this we know to be true according to God's Word. Are we seeking after it? Are we seeking to practice God's Word and to understand it? You know, as we go through all of these different things, and as we present these truths and these principles, they are all coming from God's Word. And the psalmist here is seeking to help us understand we need to trust God's Word and embrace it as truth. Trust that our God is a faithful God, that He doesn't change. Verse 95, we again have the wicked bothering the psalmist. We see this several times throughout this chapter. He says, the wicked have waited for me. They have waited. Another this verb in the Hebrew, waited, is it's an intensive. So in other words, it's not just like they're sitting around, you know, waiting. No, they are waiting with an aggression. And the psalmist describes this in such a way to help us understand that even in the most challenging times of life, and when we are feeling the most attacked, and when we feel like people are out to destroy us, and again, that verb also is an intensive. You could put the word utterly in front of that. They want to utterly destroy me. And when you say destroy me, that means what it sounds. They want to do away with me. And then he says, yes, that is true. But I will consider thy testimonies. Now, if you look there in your text, you see that little three-letter word, but, in italics. When you see that in your English translations, that typically will mean that it's not in the original, but it's included to help bring a flow to the verse. Well, let's read it without that. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. I will consider thy testimonies. The psalmist is making a declaration here. He's making a declaration that I will show myself discerning, attentive, and diligent in God's testimonies. What are we seeing here? We are seeing a psalmist that is trusting in the faithfulness of God, and he is making conscious choice to do that. I mean, he is facing incredible struggles and challenges in life, and people are in his face, and they want to utterly destroy him. But yet he is making a choice. I will show myself. That's the way this verb consider. I will show myself to be discerning, to be attentive to God's testimonies. I mean, that is a choice he's making. He is drawing a line in the sand, and he is standing on the Lord's side. I always love that verse in Joshua. As for me and my house, finish it, we will serve the Lord. That is a declaration of faithfulness in believing that God is steadfast and true. To make a statement, I will stand here. What you're saying is, I believe everything about you and that it will never change. I'm standing with you. And finally, in closing, verse 96, I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Again, the three-letter word but is not in the original, so we can read it. I've seen an end of all perfection. Thy commandment is exceeding broad. Very interesting verse, and it brings back to us what the book of Ecclesiastes has to say. Let me read just a couple verses from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes verses 1, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Vanity is really of what worth, of what value? There is no value. It's all worthless. And he makes that question, what profit is this? Ecclesiastes 2:11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then Ecclesiastes 12:8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So he begins and he ends with hopelessness. It's worthless. It's vain. There's nothing there. And we'll come back to the psalm in Psalm 119, verse 96, and he writes and he says, I have seen an end of all perfection. In other words, there is a limit, or there are boundaries to what can take place on this earth, to what man can do. There is great kingdoms rise, great kingdoms fall. Man can invent something that is seemingly the end of all inventions, but give it 10 years and there's something even better. You see, the psalmist makes an observation. You know, I've seen things are limited. Things are limited on this earth. Thy commandment is exceeding broad. I want to read for you a quote that I found in my study that I believe will help us to understand this truth. The word of God is a large field to walk and meditate in. It is sufficient to instruct all men in all ages, both with respect to doctrine and duty, and to make every man of God perfect. It has such a height and depth of doctrine and mysteries in it as can never be fully reached and fathomed, and such a breadth as is not to be measured. The fullness of this scripture can never be exhausted. Boy, am I excited about that. I'll never be out of a job. There's always more and more and more to cover. The promises of it reach to this life and that which is to come. And the precepts of it are so large that no works of righteousness done by men are adequate and proportionate to them. No righteousness but the righteousness of Christ is as large and as broad as those commandments. Wherefore, no perfection of righteousness is to be found in men, only in Christ, who is the perfect, fulfilling end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. I thought that summed it up well. What the psalmist here is seeking to communicate is God is faithful. His word is faithful. It does not change. And he then establishes his life upon the word of God because he believes that to be true. So what about you? What is your take on the scriptures? Do you believe them to be faithful and always true? Have you resolved in your heart and mind to stand by these precepts, to not forget them, to seek after them, to show yourself discerning and attentive to God's testimonies? It may be easy to do it right now, but what about in the difficult times? What about the times when you are just plumb frustrated with your life? And you'll have those times. God's word, it's not going anywhere. It's not moving. It's not changing. It's remaining. It's firm. And it's something solid for you to plant your feet upon. I trust that you will take that challenge tonight and choose, make a choice to trust God's word with your life. Lord, I thank you for your word, and again, you teach us. And so exciting to be a part of that and to hear your truth coming forth and touching my heart and ears and the ears and hearts of your people here. And I just ask, God, that you would remind us on a regular basis of how you are a faithful God and how your word remains true and firm from generation to generation. In Jesus' name, amen.